Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Interesting conversations we're having here on the Mid-Morning Empowerment. And of course, you are invited to join us by sending through your thoughts, your opinions, your questions on +27734703520. It's time for us to get into conversation with Pastor Kanimba as we speak about cultivating resilience through faith. And today, focusing on unshakable faith. And as we have this conversation, I want you to think about something and answer this question for me. What is one thing that you believe faith cannot solve, if there is such a thing? And I want you to be really honest with yourself and be honest with us here. We listen, we do not judge. Let me know if there's anything that you feel faith cannot solve, or where you feel like faith starts to cross over into delusion or presumption. Let me know. +27734703520. Pastor Kanimba, good morning. Welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning, Sisibo. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing this morning?
I'm glad. Well, thank the Lord for such a moment like this as well.
Amen. Amen. Now, Pastor, we continue our conversation on cultivating resilience, and we know adversity can shake the strongest of hearts, but faith provides an anchor that holds us steady. And trusting in God in hard times is not always easy. It can be difficult, but those are the moments where faith grows the deepest roots. And together we're going to uncover how to develop an unshakable faith that equips us to face life's uncertainties and to do that with confidence. So let's start off by discussing how we can actually cultivate trust in God, even when circumstances seem bleak.
Okay. Thank you with such a question that is practical.
Yeah.
But if we check in retrospect our previous discussion, I think it dovetails with the question of today.
Mm-hmm.
How do we develop faith, unshakable faith?
Yeah.
We develop our unshakable faith day by day by life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
God communicates to us through life experiences. It might be hard, it might be good, but it's one way that God communicates to us. One scholar said, sometimes God exposes us in crisis as confidence that we can be able to stand.
Mm.
So some other crisis of situations helps us to groom us and develop us. And number two, I would think Bible study, continuous Bible study keeps us growing day by day. If we keep on, our faith will be tested as we grow simultaneously with the knowledge that we acquire, then we are able to stand with the challenges that might come.
Beautiful. And everything that you're saying right now, I think if we can even add on to that, that it's so important to do those things before crisis hits. We had a guest earlier who was talking about the importance of building a relationship with God, even in times of prosperity and good health and everything is just, you know, on the sunny days, that it's important for us to build that relationship with Him. The unfortunate thing is that too many of us start trying to do all those things that you mentioned, the prayer, the Bible study, and all of that. We start doing it when we are in crisis mode already, when things have already fallen apart. And while it's never too late to come to God, it helps us if we have already built that relationship before the problems start.
Powerful, powerful.
So let's share some biblical figures that inspire resilience and what we can learn from their stories.
Okay. The biblical figures that inspire resilience. Yeah, okay, before I answer that one, I want as well to augment your point that we need to be proactive, that we do Bible study before the crisis comes. In Genesis 41, there is a narrative about Joseph. He foresaw that there was going to be a coming crisis of famine. But what did he do? In times of peace and prosperity, that's when he budgeted food for the crisis. It was in times of peace that he prepared for the coming catastrophe. So when the feminine, universal feminine approached, when it came into play, he had already sufficient food because he had prepared for the crisis. And that's what we are supposed to do right now as a change globally as Adventists. We still have the doors of religious liberty, but we're able to preach. But there is a time of famine is coming when our doors of religious liberty will be kept.
Sure.
And yeah. So the faith that should be prepared for the future, it should be demonstrated now.
Yes.
So coming to your question number two, the Bible heroes who inspired, who can give us the motivation that resilience can stand. What is resilience? The ability to stand in times of crisis. That's upomone in Greek. That you not resign carrying the load that you are having, though it's too heavy. So we have many Bible characters who expressed resilience in times of crisis. That's number one. We can have Mordecai. Mordecai, it was not easy standing with the decree of the state. When people were all bowing down to Haman, but he was only one man. Even numerical number was against him. But he stood by faith. And God intervened at last. How? Yes. Yeah, so God made it. If you check in the book of records, everyone who did something that was great was recognized in the book of remembrance. But one case of Mordecai, he was never compensated or appreciated. Why? God foreknew he should not be appreciated today. There is a time that he should be appreciated in terms of crisis.
Yep.
Because when the king visited the book of remembrance and said, why has he not been appreciated for the role that he has done?
Yeah.
There are times that our faith that we have done now doesn't make sense, but we shall be repaid in times of crisis.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love that. And how does faith then help us to navigate fears and anxieties about the future? You know, when we look at the world, it's almost difficult. It's almost impossible to plan for the future because we never know what's coming up. It's like every time we turn around, there's another crisis. There's another new pandemic. There's a new disease we've never heard about. There's another economic meltdown somewhere in the world or political issues. There's a war breaking out. It's so hard to plan for the future because we never know what's happening. And there's so much anxiety in the world. I feel like probably ever since 2020, there's been so much anxiety in the air. So how does faith help us to navigate those fears and anxieties about the future?
Yeah, yesterday I talked about three different types of faith: blind faith, intellectual faith, and biblical faith. The blind faith is no basis. It's just confidence with the logic and facts. That's not the biblical faith. Intellectual faith is the faith that is only executed theoretically, but is no practical demonstration. But the biblical faith, one scholar said, faith is faith when we are moving in the corridors of darkness and believe that God is with us. So if we focus the future and see the narrative of our future tense, it diminishes faith. It's no longer faith. We live through rationalism, through intellectualism, through cost-benefit analysis. But faith is trusting God no matter we don't know the future, because the premise of our faith is anchored in the Bible. We believe in one who is eternal, who knows the end from the beginning. Such a basis gives us the tenacity and the courage to anchor on God's promises, no matter the future.
That's good. And I love that. The knowledge that God is already, he's already at the end of 2025. He's already at the end of 2030. He sees the end from the beginning, like you said. So if he's already there, he already knows what's coming and nothing takes him by surprise, then why would we be afraid? It makes me think of, you know, when you're on a flight and there's some kind of turbulence or any kind of disturbance in the flight. And we always look to, you know, the cabin crew, or if the pilot would, you know, share a message to just, you know, let us know, to assure the passengers that everything's under control. Like, it gives us some kind of assurance that, okay, these people who have been doing this for years, the ones who are experienced in this thing, are saying it's fine, this is normal. That gives us some kind of assurance, right? And here we have a God who's already in the future. He has been through this. He has gone through, you know, the story of this world, and he has seen its conclusion, including us as individuals. Then there's no need to be afraid, even when we have no control, just like we have no control on an aircraft. So I love that. I love that. In what ways, Pastor, would you say that worship and scripture reading strengthen resilience? You did say that it's an important part of cultivating trust in God. But if we can focus a little bit more on that, Bible study, worship, and I loved the point that you made yesterday about praise specifically being the highest level of worship. Can you just touch a little bit more on that and speak to us about how that strengthens our resilience?
Okay, how that it strengthens our resilience. Worship, Bible study, faith, and praise. Yeah. So the worship, it's a broad term. Mm-hmm. But in worship, that we have key ingredients such as faith, mm-hmm. number one. Number two, prayer. Number three, praise. Mm-hmm. So the ladder is the words that I have in their chronological order. Mm-hmm. Faith is the foundation for worship. Mm-hmm. It's surrendering our will in the will of God. Mm-hmm. Anchoring, yoking our will in the will of God. Trusting God despite the logic and the facts surrounding us. There are presence of forces of doubt. No matter they are there, we still hold to the belief that in God, faith nullifies all what is logic. That's faith. So that's faith. But that faith is informed by knowledge of the scriptures. We don't have that blind faith. Our faith is informed by scriptures. Therefore, it's intellectual faith. How that we are able to make decisions and to be able to be regulated by the Bible and spirit of prophecy in making key decisions of life. Mm. So the Bible informs our faith in what decision that we're supposed to take, no matter the situation. So the world is not to be defined by, solely defined by constitutional provisions, activism, or other disciplines of education. Though they may be right, they interplay. But the Bible stands as the pivot for informing us about each decision that we should take in life. Then the highest stage, as we said yesterday, it is the faith that is reached to the degree of praise. Yeah, it is of patience, the virtues of endurance. So in having those key virtues such as patience and endurance, we are able to smile through and in the storm, not through the storm only, but even living in the storm, we can praise God. Why? Because we know He is able. So in context of Daniel chapter 3, Daniel says, and the three Hebrew boys says, our God is able. That's number one. Then number two, but if He chooses not to be able. So there are times that our able God can choose not to be able in our situation. So when He chooses not to be able, we still praise Him. Sure. Because He knows such challenges are pertinent for our salvation.
I like your choice of words there, that He chooses to be unable. So it's not that circumstances or His ability is limited. It is His choice to not act in a specific way, not because He cannot, but because He has a better He has a better way and a better outcome that He's looking for. I love that. I love that. Now, how can faith-based practices help individuals overcome feelings of hopelessness? I know it's beautiful. The conversations that we have, I love them. I love anything to do with faith and believing that God will come through. But sometimes even the strongest Christians feel that hopelessness and just feel like, hey, I can't explain it, but I don't know what's happening in my life. I have no hope at this point. How can faith-based practices help individuals overcome such feelings?
Yeah, honestly, it's a tricky question, but I would give my best attempt. Mm-hmm. Why? Faith, one scholar, Rodriguez, says, Angel Romano Rodriguez, said in Adventist school, one who is one of the strongest Adventist scholars, he says, faith is not an emotional state or a feeling. Mm. So with that, there are times that we can be down emotionally, and we can, because we, it's part of our nature as beings. But it should, but it, we, despite the fact we are down, it doesn't mean we have lost faith in God. There are disturbing situations of life that we, that can demotivate us, that can, we are down the valley because of situations. Such situations, no matter what, one thing what that we should know is we should keep hold on to the promises of God. No matter how saddening it is, we would still be near. So if we say faith is a feeling, that sort of thing that is written in Great Controversy, that there are times that will come that there will be false revivals in the church because people will be in emotional state of feelings. So feeling is not faith. There are times that we may be down as if we are far away from God, yet holding the future, surrounded by problems, condemned, falsely condemned, down as Joseph in the prison for 2 years when God seems to have forgotten him. It was not a good emotional state, but he balanced that emotional state with his faith. He never let go. So feelings should not define our faith.
Sure. Yes. Powerful. I think we can leave it there for today. Pastor, thank you so much for your time. We'll be connecting again to conclude our conversation tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Thank you, Sister Sibongi. May God bless you.
Amen. Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.